and fires which have been caused by wind turbines, forest fires which have been caused by wind turbines. So I maintain that wind turbines, by the way, the second leading cause of turbine fires are lightning strikes. And the taller the turbine, the more susceptible it will be to lightning strikes. Almost all of the statistics having to do with lightning strikes on turbines, and there are hundreds of them, relate to turbines that are 130 feet up, but certainly not the 500 that are proposed here. So that they're grossly understated, whatever those figures are. So I will conclude by saying that here we have this, what I consider to be a threat to our forests. We have the unsightly highways going across the mountains, all for the reason that Maine does not need and has never needed this power. In fact, the southern New England states don't need this power either. There are alternatives that they could have pursued. In Germany, wind power is so unsuccessful that the leading industrialists have said, told us, they announced this in January of last year, that all of their future investments are going to be in countries that don't have wind power, meaning parts of Asia and Latin America primarily. They said they can no longer live with the unreliability and high price of wind power. It's making them uncompetitive. And the head of their Chamber of Commerce just last week said wind power is bringing about the, quote, deindustrialization of the magnificent German economy. So with those thoughts, I leave you. I appreciate this opportunity to testify and to point out that some of the most serious aspects of this have not been addressed in the plan. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Tammy Bridges.
Hi, my name is Tammy Bridges. I'm a resident of Kingsbury Pond. Thank you for listening to my concerns and comments today. My husband and I have purchased land in Kingsbury, and we have built a beautiful home where we're planning on retiring. We're actually in the transition of moving, transitioning. So we are looking into putting cattle and building a beautiful gardens for canning and being self-sufficient. My concern is, one of my concerns is the pesticides that have been sprayed, and how often are you going to be spraying these? Once a week, once a month, once a year? And when it rains, how are you going to control all these pesticides that are going to come down into our water, into the ponds, that are going to affect the fish? The Atlantic salmon, all the flowers and all the plants on the side of the hills that it's going to affect with the runoff. It's known fact that there's lady slippers up there that nobody's mentioned. There are multiple concerns. The other concern is the bowl effect of the water. These turbines are going to cause the sound effect. I mean, Kingsbury is so peaceful and quiet. It's another world. You can actually sit out there and hear the lightning bugs click. You put these turbines up, and are we going to hear those lightning bugs click? Or the hummingbirds that come to my feeder hear those little wings? Probably not. So that's one of my concerns. My other concern is, again, the groundwater. We have known Atlantic salmon down there. How are you going to regulate the pesticides? When you start blasting these hilltops off, which are extremely beautiful, and you're going to destroy them, what about the arsenic that comes down? Where is the arsenic is known to be in ledge? Where's that going to flow? When it rains, where's it going? It's going to go into our ponds. That's a big concern. I guess the biggest concern I have is the arsenic and the herbicides. That is going to affect everybody, not just me, anybody that has a garden. Right now, I have beehives in hibernation at home. They were supposed to be moved up here this winter. How are my bees going to survive if they're going up and eating the pesticides? We have blueberry fields in Kingsbury. Are people going to want to bring their bees in to pollinate these blueberry fields? Most likely not, because they are going to destroy the bees. Thanks. Thank you for listening.
Thank you very much. Thank you. Fred Roberts.
Commissioner and members of the committee. My name is Fred Roberts. I'm a property owner and taxpayer in Mayfield Township, and I have been for the last 27 years. I'm also the president of the Mayfield Pond Otter Pond Association. This is a state registered association since 1972. The association consists of 17 property owners and taxpayers in Mayfield Township. As an association, we are 100% against this project. This project will destroy the beauty and character of Mayfield Township. Most importantly, it will significantly devalue the property in Mayfield. Mayfield is scheduled to have the most towers on every high point in the township in this project. There will not be any location within Mayfield that you will not be able to see the wind towers. For this, the residents and taxpayers are being asked to subsidize this project. The township will not receive any tax TIFs money, nor will any tax TIF monies go to Somerset County for the benefit of all unorganized townships within the county. Organized townships within this project are receiving significant financial advantages. I ask you as a committee, is this the way to treat the residents and taxpayers of Mayfield Township? Thank you for giving me the opportunity to express this.
Thank you very much, Mr. Williams. William Messer, Jr. William Messer, Jr. A Jack Deere. I think it's Mike Mahoney or Maloney. I can't read the last name.
I am Mike Molesky from Emden. Thank you for this opportunity. That's okay. I do not have any written comments. I believe the benefits of this project will outweigh the negative impacts of the area. I enjoy the beauty of this area very much. I go up through there a lot and I enjoy the scenery. As the Bingham area needs an economic boost, and this will help. And this country must become energy independent. We can't wait for another crisis in the Middle East. As little as this is, as these projects are going to help in the beginning, they will help more in the end. And this area is already is a commercial forest. I want everybody to keep in mind. I'll be brief, as in closing, I have a couple of comments. I look at for community benefit agreements, and it only goes for 20 years. As I ask us rhetorically, what's going to happen after 20 years? Is the wind going to stop blowing? And the last thing is, when the French and later the English came into this valley, I'm sure the Abenakis thought it was the end of the world. Well, this valley's still here 350 years later. And I think we'll keep going. It's up to you folks to make sure this is done right. Thank you for your help and time.
Thank you very much. Pete Smith.
Good evening. My name is Peter Smith. I live in Carabasset Valley. And I'm here as a mountain bike rider, and we've been building a mountain bike destination riding trail network in Carabasset Valley in the region. And the First Wind has, as a part of the tangible benefits agreement, has approached us about continuing to provide some annual funding through the tangible benefits agreements. That will allow the club to continue its development of the mountain bike trail network. And the mountain bike trail network in the region is being built to what we believe are very, very high environmentally sustainable standards. And in addition to the environmental sustainability of this effort, it's those of us who live in the area also believe it is a fundamental economic benefit to the region that goes beyond existing economic activity, particularly in the non-winter season. So we're looking for that project to provide additional jobs, economic benefit, sustainability for tourists and people in the area that do not come to the area now. So we believe it will be economically beneficial to the area. And so those are my comments.
Thank you very much. Thank you. Susan Clayton.
Hi. I'm from Bingham. I've lived here my whole life. As a Mainer, I understand how we resist change. We don't like change. We don't like new things sometimes. However, I think we're in a new century, and it's time to start moving ahead. I've seen too many things in the state of Maine shut down or stopped by the state, and it has not helped the state as far as keeping our children here because there are no jobs. We need to reduce energy. The state of Maine has a lot of problems, and I just think it's time that we started to move ahead. I don't think this obviously will answer all those questions, but I think it's a step in the right direction, and I think we need to protect the state as well environmentally, and I'm sure all these things have been looked into, and I see turbines all over the country and in Europe, and I don't think that they can all be wrong. So I am, would just like to say that I am for the project. I think it's a good thing for the area and the state.
Super. Thank you very much. Matt Melcher.
I was born and raised right here in Bingham. And I am also a wind turbine technician, have been for 3 years. So as someone who works in the industry and someone who is genuinely concerned about the future of this area, I think that this wind farm would be the best thing to happen to the town in a long time for a couple of reasons. It will bring badly needed jobs to the area, and when we do our service cycles, it brings more people into the area to work for extended periods of time who are gonna stay in hotels, cabins, buy gas, buy food, spend money in this town. any job and any dollar spent here is going to help this town. I don't think anybody denies the fact that there are not many opportunities here for young people, and this is going to help that out. On another note, many days I sit on the roof of the turbine and eat my lunch, and I watch moose, I watch deer, I've seen black bear, I see all kinds of animals walking around right in the middle of the wind farm where I work. Has had no impact on the wildlife whatsoever. They are still there. We have people come do environmental studies. Brook trout are spawning right up into the wind farm, which is on top of a mountain. So my experiences tell me that it has not impacted wildlife, and it will be an excellent boost for the town of Bingham. Thank you.
Thank you.
A loose Seidel.
Thank you very much.
Good evening, Commissioner Aho, and to the staff. Welcome to the edge of civilization. My name is Lou Seidel. I am the first assessor in Kingsbury Plantation, and I testified before this body last July 22nd at the Moscow public meeting regarding the First Wind Bingham project. My wife and I also own the Perseverance Wild Blueberry Farm in Kingsbury. I testified that Kingsbury was neither for nor against the project. That position still stands. Since that meeting, I have been told by many individuals that I testified in favor of the project, which I did not. I have also been confronted with other inappropriate interpretations of what was said by us at that meeting. I have listened to the online video to determine if I had misspoken. I did not. I have been further informed by others who stated that we did a survey of our people in Kingsbury regarding the First Wind project. My reference at the July meeting was to a Kingsbury comprehensive plan survey that we had done, on which there was not a question regarding First Wind. However, I did testify that there was, at the end of a survey, an opportunity for those participating in the survey to respond with any additional comments. I stated that there were several in favor of First Wind, several that opposed it, and several in the middle that essentially stated that they figured it was a done deal and it was going to happen anyway, and the plantation could use the funds from the project or from the community benefit agreement if it were approved. This coincides with the comments I was hearing at that time from my visits with the individuals around the plantation. I have also been asked as to what our vote was in regard to the community benefit agreement. We had a special plantation meeting on December 15th, 2012, following a bulleted explanation sheet that was sent out before the meeting. The article in question read, to see if the plantation will authorize the assessors to accept the community benefit agreement proposed by First Wind Blue Sky West LLC. The agreement is part of a wind generation project known as the Bingham Project and involves approximately 22 wind turbines. The vote after that decision, or the vote on that decision, was 13 in favor and 1 opposed. While the transcript of the special meeting does not contain any reference to the meaning of the vote, nor does the two-page bulleted information sheet, I noted that the First Wind information meeting on December 10th, 2012, that the vote of the community benefit agreement did not mean that the plantation was voting in favor of or in denial of the project. The vote was only about the opportunity of Kingsbury to be able to receive funds from the project if ultimately approved. I want to thank you again for the opportunity to provide comments and would be happy to answer any questions if there are any.
Thank you very much. Hillary Lister.
Good Good evening, Commissioner Aho and members of the department. And thank you for your time in looking into this. My name is Hillary Lister, and I live in Athens, Maine. And my main focus on this is the need for a public hearing on this project. This would be the largest wind project of its type in New England if approved, and much smaller projects have received legally binding formal public hearings by the DEP. There's a petition that I will hand you a copy of. It's a not very good photocopy. I'll mail you, actually, the original as well. What this petition calls for is a legally binding public hearing to address the issues that have not been adequately addressed in the application. The informational meeting that was required prior to the DEP accepting the application for processing was where people had the opportunity to find out about the opportunity to request a public hearing. That informational meeting was never published in any papers that you can get in the towns in this area. It was only published in the Kennebec Journal and Sun Journal or Franklin Journal, not in the Morning Sentinel or Bangor Daily or any of the papers that are in the towns in this area. Furthermore, the informational meeting that was held on day 3 of a large snowstorm. Schools were closed, but the informational meeting was still held. A number of people were not able to attend. And following that, when people discovered that First Wind's application had been accepted by the DEP for processing, there were a number of people in surrounding towns who put in requests for a public hearing, but missed the deadline by a short amount of time. There was, I see, one request that was put in time, and that was denied. For the reasons that I won't go into too much detail in here, there in this application or in the petition, I think it's very important that the department seriously consider holding a public hearing. Many exceptions have been made for First Wind in terms of the timing of information that it needed to submit and the timing of the application finally being accepted for permitting. I think, in respect to the public that the DEP is serving here, that the members of the public's request for a public hearing be taken seriously. Otherwise, I think there's serious chance of this being approved and violating due process guaranteed by the Constitution and creating many more problems that could be prevented if a public hearing was held prior to this. And I'd also like to ask, what is the deadline for written comments on this?
We will accept comments up until the time that we issue a permit. We do not have a deadline on those.
Okay. I think that's all.
But we appreciate them sooner rather than later.
Okay, great. Well, thank you for your time.
Thank you. The next speaker is Michael Vernon.
My name is Michael Vernon, and I live in Brighton Plantation. I've recently written to the commissioner and in January and received back the draft staff analysis, but I did not receive any answers to some of my questions. Following what the previous person spoke of, I asked the DEP to utilize its influence to try to gain a waiver so that we could have public hearings which would take sworn testimony. I was not aware of the meeting in Bingham in 2012. I was one of the people who requested a public hearing but was told I missed the deadline by 3 days. I've spoken at the July hearing, meeting in Moscow, so I'm here again today. I'm a longtime resident of the town of Brighton. I've been over 20 years on the planning board, member of the school board. I've been an assessor in town. I live approximately a half a mile from the Bingham line. Today, I put on my snowshoes in this beautiful day and went up on the hill above our house and took a look at Johnson Mountain. I can see the top of Johnson Mountain without the turbines. I'm very concerned about that. However, I would also like to talk about my profession. I'm a licensed site evaluator by the state of Maine. Site evaluator number 295. In my testimony that I'll be handing in here, I commented extensively on the soil surveys submitted by Frick's, Albert Frick's Associates. Soil surveys were done predominantly with the same tools that I use in my profession and the same methods, test pits, analyzing the soils for drainage, soil types, etc. I'm quite familiar with their process. You must know, perhaps the crowd doesn't know here, that because of the remoteness of the surveys, all the test pits were done by hand. There was no machine excavation, which is, as in, again, in my testimony, you'll see the wording is something to the effect that minimum standards will be reflected in these surveys. My concern with the soils is really what happens in the soils. We're talking about hydrology. The hydrology of the area will affect all the wildlife, including the wildlife that flies. Again, the Maine State Planning Board and the DEP have certain guidelines where they want to retain and maintain the flow of groundwater in these sites. And in my testimony, you'll see that I comment on that anything, pretty much anything can be built anywhere if you bring in enough fill, you use enough culverts and various things like that. But that in and of itself is a disturbance of the hydrology. Also, you'll see in my testimony that of the 26 soil types that were identified, 11 of them are considered hydric soils. And what that means is that they're wet and they stay wet. And they have unique characteristics that will affect the overall hydrology of this whole area. The town of Brighton was to be part of this project. However, our zoning ordinance precluded industrial development, including transmission lines in the town. First, when was informed of this, and after a little bit of cuddling up, they realized the town of Brighton was not interested in having this project. It continues to be a dead issue in our town. As a matter of fact, we are still in Brighton holding public informational meetings to give updates on what's happening right on the other side of our borders. And speaking of borders, one of the concerns that we have in the town is that instead of turbines or transmission lines being sited in the town, they have been moved over, according to First Wind survey maps, awfully close to our town. The lines on the map, we do not have the resources to check their surveys. And in my letter to the commissioner, I requested some DEP assistance in trying to verify that, in fact, this development was not violating our sovereignty and our zoning ordinance. I'd like to comment on the arbitrariness of the 8-mile scenic impact that was part of the report here, and I've seen it in the statements promoted by First Wind. And I understand that apparently it's legislated. Unfortunately,
it is. That is the law
yes.
that we are required to follow.
Uh-huh. But I would have to say that the idea that last summer my grandson and myself were hiking on the Appalachian Trail. We had lunch at Bald Mountain Pond, hiked over Bald Mountain. According to the reports that have been submitted by First Wind, there's no impact there. I would definitely dispute that. But more in line with the eight mile thing. When you get over Pleasant Pond Mountain, up near Caratunk, you have a massive view of this whole area, and the arbitrariness and even arrogance of this law really comes and hits us pretty hard. I'd also like to comment on on page 26 of the staff analysis. Now, let me back up a second, please. On August 29th of 2013, Maine Department of Inland Fisheries and Wildlife sent a letters of concern to the DEP with numerous concerns. And as I read the comments coming back from First Wind, there was a number of field and discussions in September about a lot of these issues. But my concern is here is that when I received the draft analysis, it seems as though all these problems went away. And I really cannot understand how this could possibly be. There's an awful lot of on-record stuff that's hard to find. You really need to navigate well on a computer, which I will admit that I'm not one of those people. Perhaps there's some stuff in there, there's correspondences. And it's been suggested that we may have to use Freedom of Information requests to find out what some of these conversations were with First Wind, so that when you go through this draft analysis, you find that a potential problem being identified, First Wind's mitigation plan, and then it being signed off over and over and over again. And then on page 26 of the report, we find that in addition to First Wind's donations to the Somerset Economic Development Corporation in the form of $30,000 a year, Moose Alley Riders, $10,000 a year, New England Mountain Bike Association, $10,000 a year, and Valley Riders, $10,000 per year. And incidentally, a large contribution to the Audubon Society, which has come out as a supporter of wind energy. Below that, we have, lastly, the applicant's proposal to make a contribution to the Maine Department of Inland Fisheries and Wildlife in the amount of $37,550. The contribution will be used for land or natural resource conservation, which may include enhancement of existing properties. MDIFW has agreed to accept this contribution. And on the last page, starting actually on page 28, under compensation, applicants conducted functions and values assessments of the various wetlands and water bodies to be altered by the proposed project. Because of the range of wetland impacts, all different types of functions and values are represented. Pursuant to the department's, and I presume this is the DEP, the department's wetland protection rules, compensation is required to achieve the goal of no net loss of wetland and water body functions and values. And again, I'm making a bit of presumption here, but I presume that means that when wetlands are destroyed, somehow or other, engineering can create them in a different place. It goes on to say, though, to compensate for the permanent loss of freshwater wetlands, the applicants propose to make a contribution to the in-lieu fee program of the Maine Natural Resource Conservation Program in the amount of $600,087. And then it says, the department does not typically require compensation for the conversion of forested wetland to shrub wetland. I really view this whole thing as in two parts. One is environmental and one is economic. On the environmental side, I would just expect that any department that is named environmental protection would do that. There is nothing environmentally protective about this project whatsoever. However, there's something extremely economic about this. First Wind has thrown a lot of money around in the state. I think we all may be hearing their commercials all over radios and things like that. Their contributions to various groups that can then come and testify in favor of this project is being well known. But what really we have here is a project that will make a lot of money for a few people. And the rest of us are going to be carrying the weight of it for some of us, for the rest of our lives. This will change the character of the whole area. It'll certainly change it for myself and my family. And although to some people scenic value is seems almost foolish, I would say that valuing money over the pleasures that we can have by living here, and everything, we pay the price for living up here. We don't have a lot of conveniences. We choose to live here, and making a decision of money over our very homes, where we've raised our families, where some of us have absolute intentions to be buried when we die, is that, to me, that's foolish. And I hope that in your deliberations, you'll also take a great deal of positive value on all the technical challenges that we've heard about, the inefficiency of the turbines, the lack of impact on oil imports and all that sort of thing. I think that's fairly clear, and I hope in the end any investment like this can be put into something a whole lot more valuable than this.
Thank you. Dustin Littlefield. I'm just going to let folks know that it's 8:15, and we have about 20 plus speakers because more are signing up. So I'm just going to ask people to try to be a little bit more succinct, if at all possible. Thank you.
Thank you. Like you said, Dustin Littlefield. I grew up in Bingham. I've moved to Southern Maine now, but my folks still live here. They couldn't be here tonight because they're out of town. But I just wanted to speak in support of the project. I think Bingham and the surrounding areas need the economic boost that this project's going to bring. Local businesses are going to thrive during construction. You got lodging, you have all the stores, the hardware stores, the gas station, convenience stores, restaurants. All these businesses are just going to, you know, the jobs that come into town with the construction, and these businesses are just going to, you know, thrive for the period of construction. And then, you know, the revenue that First Wind has agreed to pay out, you know, the towns can, you know, use this money, you know, dearly. The town, I drive through and, you know, I kind of feel sad for the, you know, town is, you know, shut down all throughout. And, you know, I remember back when I lived here, it wasn't like that. You know, you had, you know, stores open and, you know, sandwich shops and other businesses doing well. And now you just go through and, you know, it's hard times. So, you know, the money that's going to come in is going to be, you know, well deserved. And then you got the local clubs that are going to benefit, you know, the ATV club, the snowmobile club, the mountain bike club. You know, when I snowmobiled, I'd read the trail reports, and if, you know, it came to the end of the season and some of the clubs didn't have the money to upkeep the trails, you know, I didn't want to go because why would I want to go ride, you know, trails that weren't nice? So, you know, this money coming into these clubs is going to be able to, you know, make these trails nicer, and in turn it's going to create tourism to come up here, you know, better trails, more people coming to ride them, and, you know, the town will need that, and this is going to be well past construction. These people are still going to come up here because they're still going to be getting the money to maintain these trails. You know, wind is, you know, maybe not the answer in the big picture economically, but, I mean, not economically, but for the environment, but, you know, every little bit helps. You know, we cut down on some oil, or we cut down on some coal, or we cut down on this, that, and the other, you know, with some renewable energy, that every little bit helps. So, you know, we got to do what we can to diversify energy resources. People talked about the, you know, the landscape up there and how beautiful it is, and I agree, but I don't see anything deterrent about these, the towers. You know, this is not pristine, you know, woods up there. This has been cut over year after year after year with active logging. There's all kinds of existing roads up there already. This is not a high elevation project that's, you know, well sought after forest land. It's, you know, it's low elevation. It's already been cut. So, you know, minimal visual impacts. It's not, you know, it's from Once you're up on the height of land, yeah, you can see it, but when you're down in towns, you're not going to be able to see these as much as everybody thinks. So I just want to urge you guys to approve this project for the many benefits it'll provide for Bingham, the surrounding areas, and for the years to come, for the economic boost of the town. Thanks.
Thank you. Leo Hill.
Hello. My name's Leo Hill. I am a lifelong resident of Bingham. I own Gateway Recreation and Lodging in town at 7 cabins, a master main guide, and I'm also a school board member and the trail master on the snowmobile club. And I support this project. As far as my business, I've never had anybody ever call up and ask if we have wind towers in the area. They ask if you have air conditioning, they ask if you have, you know, comfortable beds, linens, all that stuff. I've never in 15 years had anybody ask about wind towers in the area. People come up to this area for snowmobile and ATV and fishing, and that's where the majority of my business comes from. I'm a school board member. If you look behind you, that curtain behind you is probably older than all you are. That's our smart board over there. We just don't have money right now, and we're looking at closing down schools, we're looking at cutting teachers, we're looking at cutting sports programs. We just don't have the money. And this wind tower project is going to come in, and I did a little back of the napkin math, and it's the equivalent in taxes is about building 200 $100,000 homes is the same equivalent of money that we'll get from taxes for the 11 towers that are going up in Bingham. So with that money, you know, we'll be able to keep our schools open. I won't have to send my three little girls down to Skowhegan to go to school. They can stay here in Bingham and hopefully be educated here. Snowmobile Club has been mentioned a couple times, getting $10,000 a year. Dustin mentioned some things. You know, we'll be able to use that money, to keep the trails going longer, smoother, more tourists coming in with that. I fill up the fuel tank, and it's $1,000 a weekend that we're spending on fuel just to keep the trails open. This town is just slowly dying. The robbers in town, they even have to use hammers instead of guns. It's pretty sad around here right now. But we need the money. The schools need the money. The Bingham needs the money. I know it offends some people that they're going to have to look at a wind tower, but my great-grandfather, he had a place right behind Wyman Lake. I think I told you this down. But he had a place right next to the river. And he had to, when they built Wyman Dam, his place is now 100 feet underwater. And they gave him $1,500 and said, see you later, you know. And I think the sacrifice by looking at a couple wind towers is pretty minor compared to, you know, something like that. So, thank you.
Thank you very much. Barbara Lord.
Hello. I'm with the Chamber of Commerce. And I think Leo probably hit on everything that is wrong and everything that's right in this town. I'm a transplant here. I've been here 10 years. I wasn't fortunate enough to be born here. I chose here. It's a beautiful town, but it's slowly just leaving. We have another business leaving. Working in the chamber, you see this. When First Wind first came, all the questions I had, they've been more than honest, I think. Everything that I've ever asked, they've been very straightforward with me on it. The town needs this, if not for the money, they need it for the recognition. It's just kind of a forgotten spot, and it's such a beautiful spot. and it needs to be recognized. And if it has to be a wind tower that makes it recognizable, then so be it. Because it really, really needs the input that everybody needs to have here. Businesses are struggling, the people are struggling, and you can see it when you're dealing with them in the chamber. Thank you very much for listening.
Thank you very much. I have Mitt or Milt Christensen. Thank you.
I have a lot of objections to the project, but I'm just going to speak on one point after I put my glasses on. It is debatable as to whether or not wind turbines are in and of themselves beautiful or merely oversized, ugly robots. I will concede that as sculptural, aerodynamic pieces of engineering and design, wind turbines are remarkable, sleek structures exhibiting the concept of form following function very well. The question for us, however, is do these modernistic industrial megatowers belong in the natural environment of the Maine woods? Wind turbines towering 400 feet above the forest are out of place in our rural environment. I have read the draft analysis. In the draft analysis, that since the land in Brighton and Kingsbury, or Bingham and Kingsbury, has been used for logging, it is considered to already be industrial, and therefore it is okay to put wind turbines there. This argument ignores the fact that logging, as an industry, erects no buildings or structures. The loggers come and do their cutting, and then they are gone, leaving the forest to regenerate. Wind turbines, on the other hand, are permanent, and because of their scale, they completely dominate the surrounding landscape. The draft analysis seems to agree that wind turbines are an unwanted distraction in scenic vistas. It states that they should not disrupt the views of such significant natural icons as Mount Kineo or Mount Katahdin. I propose that our hills in Kingsbury and Bingham are sufficiently significant to also be protected from the degrading visual pollution of 62 wind towers. The book, North Woods Walks, lists popular hikes in northern Maine, including our trails on Pleasant Pond Mountain, Moxie Bald Mountain, Barren Mountain, Mosquito Mountain, and Borstone Mountain. The wind farm would be visible from all of these mountains. From the Appalachian Trail on Moxie Bald Mountain, the towers would only be 8 miles away. And from Mosquito Mountain, they would be 12 miles away. The view from a mountain is just as important as the view of a mountain. Why do people climb mountains? It may be because the mountains are there, but it is also for the view. And the wind turbines would spoil the lofty perspective from all of the mountains in our region, including mountains on the Appalachian Trail, one of the most famous through hikes in the world, turning what was previously known as God's country into First Winds country. Do we really need these wind towers in the first place? And will they solve our energy problems and carbon emissions? There is plenty of evidence that they will do little to help in accomplishing these goals. Lately, I've heard that the burning of fuel refined from Canadian tar sands will cancel out any positive effects that the wind turbines may have had for us. The only way to reduce our addiction to fossil fuels and curb emissions is to tax carbon emissions. Unpopular as that may be, and I don't like it either, if people had to pay for the carbon they produced, they would conserve energy and reduce consumption. That way we would be able to lower carbon emissions and keep our land free
of wind turbines as well. The natural world is under constant assault. The forest gets smaller every day. I'm thankful for what we have left and hope we can at least keep what is still there from industrial development. Thank you.
Thank you, Margaret Flynn.
Good evening. Chairman Aho and the rest of the board, I have a couple of observations I would like to make before I make my comments. You, as Commissioner of the Maine Department of the Environmental Protection, have taken an oath to uphold the constitutions federally and state. Have you not? Ms. Aho, that was directed to you.
Ma'am, I'm here to receive comments. I'm not going to enter into a dialogue or questions and answers.
This isn't going to be a dialogue.
Please proceed with your comments.
I will give you my comments graciously. And my comments are made to you and the rest of your crew pursuant to your oath. In the first place, many of the statements that have been made this evening by various people in this community and neighboring communities are statements with which I concur in principle. The information that I have gleaned and which I have sent you and others in your department definitely shows the downside of industrial wind. Now that said, I understand why the people of this community, at least some of them, think that this wind project would be a boon for Bingham. I respectfully must disagree. I think they're confusing the short-term gains that a few people will make because of perhaps temporary jobs, construction, lodging, restaurants, that type of thing. Those short-term gains do not offset the long-term disadvantages that this project will bring to our area. Now, I don't live close to where the turbines are going to be placed, but that doesn't mean that I may not be affected by the long range of the low-frequency vibrations. I happen to have some inner ear problems which make me quite sensitive to that type of thing. I think there'll be many people that may be affected that haven't even given any consideration to the long-term health effects, and frankly, there hasn't been enough study done to say with any degree of certainty just how much of an impact these waves do have on our physical bodies. That said, they are going to affect the animals. Whether we realize it or not, we're not privy to everything that's going on in the Maine woods. And anything that's as disruptive as an ongoing turbine spinning at high speeds long periods of time has to have some kind of effect on the neighboring wildlife, flora, and fauna. Now, the obvious concerns about the herbicides, pesticides, arsenic, metals leaching, all of those are very valid criteria. And I do believe that they put our precious environment at risk. Now, many people have talked about living here their whole lives. I haven't. My mother was from Maine, but southern Maine. I've lived all over the country. I moved here from New Mexico 4.5 years ago by choice because I wanted to live in a small town that was free from industrial pollution. I recognize that this town is not well off financially, but I don't believe that a wind project is the panacea that the folks in this town think it is. My recollection of the meetings that we took part of in this town was that it wasn't an overwhelming approval. There was a lot of consternation and concern amongst the people. There were a lot of questions that were not answered. And frankly, First Wind has been throwing a lot of money around, and I know the impact that that has on people who run businesses, who worry about the trails, snowmobiling, what have you. I get all of that. But I think it's irresponsible to allow a gain that might come to a few people to impact the greater good of our community, our quality of place, our quality of life. And there's another issue that I'm not sure the people are totally aware of. We've done a lot of study and looked into various areas in the country with wind turbines. And there seems to be a consensus of opinion that the property values in communities that are abutting turbines do go down. Even the realtors associations acknowledge that it can drop the property value at least 10%, in some cases more depending on proximity to the turbine. So that should be an area of concern. There's another area that hasn't been discussed, but which has been an issue for me in terms of my own thinking. And I just recently read an article that was a discussion of what's taken place in Coos County in the state of New Hampshire, our neighboring state. Apparently, when a wind turbine project was approved there, the communities were a couple of unorganized territories, Mayfield, I believe, is one, and Dixville, I think, is the other. And they were told that the project would be valued at approximately $113 million. Well, when the assessment valuation came in, it was described at something like $240 million. And now these two little unorganized territories are going to be saddled with an incredible increase in their taxes. They have appealed the decision, but they were denied. Now they're trying to appeal the appeal. The bottom line is there's no guarantee that the tax base in this community is going to be stable.
Would you hang on?
Certainly.
Folks that are talking in the hallway, it's very difficult for us, believe it or not, here at the table to actually hear the speaker or to actually get the recording on it. So if you could just take that conversation into one of the classrooms, perhaps, or just be cognizant that we can hear what you're saying all the way up here. Thank you. I apologize, Ms. Flynn.
Not a problem.
And if you could wrap it up in a couple minutes,
yes, I will do my best to wrap it up. My concern for the community is that Bingham is going to get hit with a large increase. Now, many months ago, during one of the so-called meetings, one of the attorneys for First Wind was pressed for some answers, and she admitted reluctantly that it's likely that some property values will fall, and it's also likely that a reassessment will increase the so-called valuation of the town, at least on paper, and that's going to impact the property taxes of everyone who lives in Bingham. I'm not sure that people have considered that, and it could be a very, very dire consequence. So on that note, I would urge you to consider the well-being of the people of Bingham. And granted, I know you have rules and regulations that you have to apply, but they should never, ever supersede the rights and the best interests of the people that you are in office to serve, Ms. Aho. And I thank you for your time.
Thank you. John Flynn.
It's quite evident from the turnout tonight and the turnout in the first public meeting, not public hearing. This is a public meeting, not a public hearing, that the people of the affected areas are quite concerned. Maybe not all of them, but enough of them. Now, these people who are concerned have the right to fairness and justice. That's supposed to be the American way. But over the past 40 years or so, the lines have been blurred on that quite a bit. To the extent that government, which is theoretically the servant of the people, serving the public interest, upholding the public welfare, falls all over corporations and favors corporate profits and corporate interest over the rights of the people. That's not fair. That's not just. And some of you might laugh, but that's not the American way. Fairness and justice is the American way. Years ago, many of us pledged an oath to the Constitution. And part of that oath speaks of the flag and the republic for which it stands. And the oath ends in liberty and justice for all. Based upon the actions of the state of Maine, the government of the state of Maine, The government of Bingham and the DEP and related agencies, based upon their actions, all in the public record, I see almost